Today is March 8th, 2011, 2 minutes after 7 o'clock. I'm calling this meeting to order. I'd like to ask any of the board members present if they have any conflicts of interest at this time, that they feel might be a conflict of interest.
No, sir.
Mr. Jones?
I have none.
I'd like to do a roll call at this time. We have to my left, Ms. Candace Roll is present. Mr. Rebel Jones, to my right, is present. Mr. Bill McCarter's not here at this time. At this time, I'd like to officially introduce Mr. Tim Heine as our new board member. He has been sworn in. And we have the loyalty oath that he signed and was sent to our elections commission last month. So that is all official. I'd like to do the Pledge of Allegiance at this time.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We have a consent agenda. The consent agenda are the items that are grouped together under one vote. We can approve all the items within a consent agenda. We have the approval of the minutes under the consent agenda to approve. January 4th, 2011 is the verbal minutes that were sent out to everybody. There were no written minutes for that particular day. The January 20th of 2011 and February 8th of 2011 are the verbal minutes. I sent each board member a set of those new minutes that we have. I have those right here in front of me. Any discussion before we discuss about the approval of minutes? Is everybody? Bill?
Sorry, everyone.
That's okay. As a note, we have Bill McCarter present at the meeting. Bill, we're just right down to the approval of the minutes for those three meetings that we had, January 4th, January 20th, and February 8th. As I noted in my email to all the board members, January 4th is the minutes that were the recorded minutes that need to be approved. January 20th and February 8th are the written minutes that needed to be approved. As we discussed on the last meeting, we talked about rewriting those minutes, and I sent out a copy to each board member. Did you all get those?
I did not. I didn't open. I was. I had some paperwork to take care of regarding my mom's estate, and I didn't get them all.
Did you want to take a look at them at this time?
I'd love to.
Okay.
I do have one comment. I think you left out Candy's name on her motion on the 20th. It just says Miss.
Oh, that's right. I see that. Miss Roll. Okay. Thank you. Any other oversights or anything else to discuss for the minutes? That's February 8th that you have at Candy, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
I have January. This is the one that you worked with?
And revised.
Mm-hmm.
According to the decision of the board from the last meeting. If there is no further discussion, then you can make a motion if you'd like.
I move to approve the minutes of the February 8th meeting.
They're all going to be approved at the same time under one consent agenda.
I'll revise that.
Thank you.
I move to approve the January 4th, January 20th, February 8th minutes.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion from Ms. Roll to approve the minutes from January 4th, January 20th, and February 8th of 2011. It has been seconded by Bill McCarter. We will now take a vote on that. Since Mr. Heine was not here at that time, he will abstain from his votes. All those in favor of approving the minutes for January 4th, January 20th, and February 8th of 2011 with a show of hands. A show of hands show that four board members did approve that. We'll now move on to the next item agenda, and that's call to the public. Looking out, we have no call to the public to request, and we will move on to our reports in just a second. As soon as Lori gets back on the, as soon as Ms. Tucker gets back on the off the phone. Did you all have a chance to go through the reports?
I did.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You did, Bill?
Yes.
Okay. Any questions, anything to discuss before we hear those reports?
No, I mentioned to Lori, and I think she has the figure. She called me and told me she did, but I would like to have all these percentages are nice along the right-hand side. Although there's some discrepancies, like payroll taxes show 97%, but we discussed last meeting that 97% is erroneous because payroll taxes run January to January and our budget runs June to July, is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. So basically the reason we've spent 97% is because we already have a full year shown on this expense report because of the January to January. So she was going to get those numbers. I don't know if she had a chance to do that. Then I also asked, even though we want these percentages, if we could just have the percentage of the budget that has been spent up to this point.
60%.
Yeah, okay. And she did write here that we have 3.5 weeks or 3.5 months left in our fiscal year. So at 60% of our budget, that looks a lot better than some of these figures, which are estimates.
Okay.
Those are my comments. That's the things I discussed.
Good. We're going to move on to agenda item number 7, the reports. And
wait a minute. I had a question about the Sunside Fire Board sheet. Is that part of this whole?
Was that from me?
Yes, it was from you. It was in regards to the...
Okay, but he's just going to start the report, so she might be able to explain that to you.
Okay, all right.
Okay, we'll start off with the financial reports given by Ms. Lori Tucker.
Did everyone get a chance to review them?
Yes, we were just discussing those.
Okay. Any questions?
Bill brought up a real interesting point on that these are for a yearly basis instead of a fiscal year. Is that correct?
No, not all.
Just all.
The
one.
The payroll taxes.
The payroll taxes.
Payroll taxes. They are yearly. Calendar year. So I'm going to give you a different figure that reflects the difference between the calendar year and the fiscal year.
Okay.
So it's December 31st starts all over again. So that 97% is not accurate. But QuickBooks, how we input our budget, it's not recognizing that one little account is calendar year, not fiscal year. So it's showing that at a higher percentage. And there's a few things that you'll see that we are over on. We had to buy that fancy new printer over there. That kicked us over a little bit on office supplies. Let's see, communications. We're over on communications. We're over on PPE, which is personal protective equipment. And PPE, that's kind of another thing that's, we were awarded a grant for new turnouts and SCBAs. I started in February of last year. The grant had not been managed, as in quarterly reports and what needed to be done. And at the end of our fiscal year, which is June 30th, the invoice had not been submitted for reimbursement from FEMA. So the reimbursement, the invoices and the reimbursement actually went on to this fiscal year calendar. So it should have been invoiced by June 30th is what it should have been.
Should have been in last year's budget.
Right.
But it showed up in this year's
budget.
Yes,
sir.
So it...
No longer do we have that problem because I'm a grant writer, manager, seeker.
Do you know how much that grant was?
$106,000. There was an electronic payment.
Okay.
I changed the date of the payment already, so it didn't show as funds, but it still shows our invoices as money going out. Does that make sense? Because of our audit, they asked me to change the date that we were paid, because it was July 2nd, I believe. They had us change it to June 30th, because that would have messed up a whole lot of stuff for us. So, but the invoices, the money that we spent, that I can't change all those dates. There's just no way.
Okay.
So, and I have, you can see all the invoices, and every check that was signed had invoices attached to it, so.
Okay, this might be a hard question, but if it's 107,000, shouldn't it reflect as 107,000 over?
Last, remember, I just said, when we received the check, the day I deposited was actually July 2nd, when we had our audit.
Okay.
Saunders had me change up to June 30th.
Okay. So our portion is what's skewing the figure.
Right. It's the money that we paid for before we got the reimbursements.
Okay.
That went into July.
So
and
our
the invoices reflect that. You can see the invoices.
So the grant was?
106,000.
And our portion?
It was 100%.
It was 100%?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
100%. But, like I said, nobody had been doing those reports.
I saw on one of your notes, Lori, that that the staff has reviewed the budget versus actual accounts and is fully aware that less spending is required until further notice.
When we have our monthly staff meetings, I talk to them about, because we have a maintenance department, so to speak, which is Terry, and we have a training department, which is Paul, myself. So we sit down and talk about, okay, I need to order this, or this truck is down, or this ambulance isn't working. And I let them know, okay, this is how much we're over or under. You need to check with me, you need to communicate so I know what's anticipated as much as possible. So we talk about that. We talk about where we're at, what we have, how much longer we have to get by. It's not just those 3.5 months. You have to take into consideration the first couple months of the fiscal year until our tax dollars start rolling in. You have to be careful. You have to be cautious on your spending. And they know.
Okay.
That's the only reason why I put that is because we speak about the budget all the time.
Okay. I overheard you talking with Bill the other day about the property tax revenue that we've collected 90% to date. And this looks a little scary at first, but then listening a little bit with the conversation, a lot of that money still hasn't reached us yet, you say?
Right.
A lot of the money, do you have any? It just hasn't reached us yet just because, why?
Well, the way the county's explained it to me is there were some people that were unable to pay their property taxes, of course, because of the economy. Other people are buying those properties up and paying that back tax on those, but that money is going to be slowly trickling into us. Property tax revenue is, when we sit down and do the budget, it's an estimate of what we received last year. It's not an exact figure, and that's what I was talking to Bill about. We can anticipate what we're going to bring in pretty close, but not always exact. I spoke to Carmen. She said that the report hasn't come out yet because it doesn't come out till mid-month or February's tax deposits, but we have another about $15,640 that hasn't been posted. And they're anticipating roughly another $178,000 in personal property taxes, but they can't give me an exact.
Okay. If I might explain, my comment to Lori was, Ms. Tucker, was that it's my understanding that FDAT, Fire Department Assistant Tax, is collected along with property tax, and there must be something in the county's budget that they don't put that money out right away, because if we've collected 90% of property tax revenue, we must have also collected 90% of Fire Department Assistant Tax, because they're paid together.
And Zian, I was under the assumption that it wasn't. I was under the assumption that the state...
I think if you, well, what
yeah,
I'm saying is...
During the meetings, I understood that it was separate.
People pay their fire department assistance tax at the same time that they pay their personal property tax.
But does the state hold on to that and hand it out differently?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
It must be disbursed differently, because although fire department assistance tax is collected from every person in the CON, mm-hmm. where personal property tax is only in our fire district. So there could be a little discrepancy there, but I can't imagine that it would be 50%. So it just must be dispersed differently, because I think fire department assistance tax does go to the state, and the state disperses that.
Yes.
So there would be a lag there.
There is. And then, like I said, the county, I won't even have any idea what our total number is for February until mid-March, probably another week. So we could have FDAT sitting there, but I don't get to know those totals until they release the reports, the county warrant reports. I also found out, and I'm not sure if you guys got the email, that we are no longer bound to a county account. Legislation has just been passed that we are allowed to have our own separate account. So that might be something I need to look into, because it's very difficult to work with the county warrant account, because all of our monies are funneled into that account. All of these small fire districts, we all have our separate account number. We have a deposit account number, and then we have our warrant account number. They're separate. So when I make deposits, it goes into one account. When I pay bills, it comes out of another account. Payroll, vendor bills, whatever. When you call up and ask for our balance, they're going to tell you, $4.2 million. No, that's the county's balance. That is not Sunside's fire's balance. So there's good and bad to having a county warrant account.
How would we go?
Plus and minuses.
How would we go about to set up our own account?
Well,
has legislature dictated that?
I don't have any of that information as of yet. AFTA sent me an email on all the new laws that were passed, and I was just reading through it yesterday, and I saw that they passed that. Do no longer do we have to have our money funneled through the county. So I guess we'd have to meet with them, have them release and close our accounts. I mean, it might be a bigger hassle than it's worth, but it's a decision that needs to be made.
Didn't we have the discussion one time that our warrants are mixed with other people's warrants? Our numbers are not consecutive, that maybe if we have 107, then...
Douglas could have 107.
108?
Mm-hmm. Or the same number.
We have a sequence of 100 at a time, but those 100 can be mimicked by a different fire department. So if we have 100 checks in sequence, starting out with, you know, 16, Douglas could have 100 checks starting out with 16.
Also.
You just have to check that account. It's very difficult. And I see when I call Chase Bank how difficult it is by when I had to check on the check for the aquarium. That fiasco. It took me days for them just to locate the check. So, something to look into.
Okay. Any other questions from the board?
You said you had another number on the payroll taxes?
No, I was working on that and I didn't.
Okay.
But I'll get it to you as soon as possible.
All right.
What does the county warrant cost us? Do they charge us a percentage?
They do. It's a small fee. It's minimal. I don't have the exact amount with me right now. They charge us for our warrants that they send to us. Anytime we talk to the district attorney, they debit our account. And then just normal fees, I'm not sure what they are. But I could get that information for you.
On the salaries and wages, is that on the yearly basis, like you were saying, the payroll, the calendar?
No, that's year to date.
That's year to date from July
1st till now.
Till now.
Till last payroll.
Okay.
So we're sitting good on that.
Well, because I was looking at some of the previous statements that you've given out, and February has a different figure than what we have now.
What do you have for February?
February showed, if I'm looking at it correct, had 304,000 paid out at 67.5% used.
We'll have to look at that.
And so the number has gotten smaller from then till now to 242,000.
I can check on that, but I just went over this 3 times in QuickBooks.
Well, I'm just
I can look at it.
Looking at it, and I was wanting to know.
I can look at
it. Rebel, that was last month, you said?
February.
February.
We should all have
Bill?
Let me see.
Yeah, Mark Cook should have that.
That's exactly.
It's upside down in my book.
Very bottom, Bill.
Make sure that nothing else was added in, lump summed into that.
No, 450.
No, 304.
But that was year to date. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So,
we're looking here year to date, like Rebel says.
Yeah, I could have made a mistake, and you're welcome to come and sit with me, Rebel.
242.
And look at the computer.
I
might have made a mistake.
60,000. 60-some thousand different.
Yeah,
I think there was...
Maybe I didn't add in to date on that one. Maybe it was just ending at that month. I'm not sure. And that wouldn't make sense either.
And what's the remaining? What does it say on this one?
146, 67.56.
Yeah, and we have 207 remaining. Okay.
Yeah, but that's it. I took it from every cent that was input in the QuickBooks.
Okay, well, it might be something to look at anyway.
Yeah, and that door is always open. You're always welcome to come in and sit and look for yourself that what's in it.
I was just looking over it this evening, so I thought this would be a good
It would
and
be,
we've changed reports, so I don't know. I can't give you an answer to that right now.
The paper will always work this way. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, next
I have a folder of at least 50 reports that we've changed here. So.
Well, this one looks pretty good. That was a good catch, Mr. Jones, on that. Interesting. But we'll get better figures. They'll be available tomorrow?
That is the figure. That is the figure.
Oh, and the, okay. What?
But and the payroll taxes. And, that's the only thing that...
And the previous figure then was just...
I'll look at it and see why maybe my math was wrong. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I inputted into a template and... I don't know.
So you're pretty sure this one is correct.
Okay. I'm positive this one's correct.
Okay.
So one more thing. You said our total budget expenditure is 60%?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I did what you said. I took less the revenue. I left that out, like you said.
Okay, maybe we should explain that.
Yes, please.
Okay.
When we look at the top of this, if you don't mind, I'll explain it.
Go ahead.
When we look at the top of this, we look at property tax revenue. I just told Lori from the line down here, the actual expenditures and actual budget figures, I would like to know what the percentage is there, because while land income is kind of an arbitrary figure, ambulance billing is kind of an arbitrary figure. So I just said, I want to see the concrete figures. How much have we concretely spent, and what is the percentage of that? So she left out this top portion and just went with the bottom portion.
And I came up with spent was 757 at the bottom. You see 772. But when I added them all up, it was roughly $757,000, and we've spent $453,000, and changed. And it came up to 60%.
And the reason for that is that there are some grant expenditures and things there that kind of throw everything off from the budget.
Like communications, you'll see received or spent $18,000. And that's way over what we budgeted that we'd spent, but we're waiting on a check from the Forest Department for roughly $14,000, and that's just a partial reimbursement that they owe us for a grant that we received. So, but I don't have that money in my hand, and I'm not going to add it in yet. So that's why that number's changed a little.
And the other thing, just so that we discussed, that occurred to me as I was looking at this, is it looks like to me, because it is a guess, that maybe ambulance billing, we should try to go somehow to a deal where we say ambulance billing lags 1 year and wildland income lags 1 year before it comes into the budget, so that we know that that's a concrete number, instead of saying, well, we kind of think we're going to get $300,000 out of wildland and it doesn't come. It would be nice if somehow we could put that 1 year behind, so we were using last year's income in this year's budget.
Right, because I have some other figures for you as well. We ran 45 calls in the month of February. Of January and February. Right now, I have out that's current $41,438 in ambulance revenue that we're going to collect. Out 31 to 60 days, $33,016.62. 61 to 90 days, $3,662.14. Total, $78,107.59. So, monies are coming in. Insurance companies are hard to deal with sometimes, but that's what we have out. So it's going to take that $31,000, and that's going to jump it up quite a bit. And sometimes it can take 30 to 60 days to receive it.
You're at $109,500 instead of $31,304.85, but the problem is that also could lag into the next year's budget. before we collect that.
Right.
That's why I thought it might be better if we could lag 1 year on wildlands, and instead of making it a forward guess, say, this is what we collected last year, add it into the budget and use it.
And have actual figures.
Right.
Have actual figures.
Project so much.
Have it lag a year, if possible. I don't know if that's possible, but if we could lag into last year, say, whatever we collected last year's be added into this year's budget and used as expenditures.
The actual figures.
The actual figures.
The actual figures.
1 year.
It's difficult to try and anticipate but how many.
It would be a closer.
Yeah, well, it'd
a
be
better guess.
It'd be right on, actually. But it might not because
really.
Some of it lags.
Yeah. Well, right. You don't know how many calls you're going to run. You might run 100 less than you did that year before.
No. But what I'm saying, you wouldn't even consider that money in your budget until the following year.
Well,
last year's income from wildlands would go into this year's.
Yeah, we put something.
But we'd have a closer figure.
If there's a way to do that. I'm just saying, let it lag 1 year.
Well, and we have to think. I would rather project a smaller amount and have a carry forward than try and go big and try and say, oh, we're going to make all this money and then be disappointed. Or have to.
I know where that.
Not so much that it causes issues.
Yeah, I know where that came from, and that came from the fact that if you don't budget it, you can't spend it.
Right.
Which might be a good thing.
Right. Well, you have to put a figure. You have to.
Yeah.
I have to give the Department of Health a report every year saying how much money we're going to make.
So if for example, just to clarify, if we budgeted for ambulance billing $125,000. And we received $150,000. Does that mean we can only spend $125,000?
Yes.
Well, unless you amend the budget.
And then what happens to the extra $25,000?
Carry forward.
It would be carried forward.
Right.
But if you wanted to move it to, say, the reserve account, you'd have to amend your budget.
Chief, you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, there's going to be a downfall to that, though, and I don't know how to quite get around it, but when we take money and we deposit it into the account, it's going to go straight into the account, so it's going to show in the bank. I guess maybe just not use it. I'm not sure.
Oh, you mean on the lag?
Well, when the check comes in, it's going to go straight into the bank, so it's going to show in our balance in the account.
The ambulance revenue?
No, the wildfire is what I'm...
Oh,
well,
I
actually
see.
Both of them.
I see what you're saying.
When the check comes in, it's going to show up in the M&O account.
I think it all has to do on what type of bookkeeping system are we on, accrual or cash?
Accrual. No, I'm sorry, cash. We're on cash.
Well, if we're on cash, then that will not work what you're talking about, Bill.
Right, we're on cash,
oh, okay.
Except for that.
Accrual would.
That 1 minute.
Because you can defer income, you can defer different things, but
yeah,
if we're on cash,
we're on cash,
that isn't going to work.
Except that little tiny
unfortunately.
Bit.
Unfortunately. I know what you're
yes.
talking about. I think we just have to really prepare the budget a little closer. I'm sure everybody has prepared it in the past as close as they can.
Well,
but maybe we...
Narrower, you're saying.
We just have to narrow the margin as best we can guess.
I started February. Chief started a few months prior to me, September. We hadn't had but a couple months in here. Working, learning everything before we had to compile the budget.
And
so we tried to go off of
the previous years.
And the other problem we have is once you start with cash basis, you have to stay
yes.
with it.
But
well,
we
didn't
get a choice. I mean, it's mandated
it's
by
mandated.
The county. We don't get a choice how you do it.
Okay, well,
and there's
it is what it is.
Most corporations do.
Right.
Yeah,
and
corporations do.
And it's very different when you've worked in both.
Yeah, I've worked them
yes.
both. I know.
So you know it's
right.
complicated.
That's why I wanted the number. How much have we actually spent of our budget to this point? Because it's a better indicator, actually, than these individual things. And of course, as we go year over year, these individual things, because we've got them, we'll be able to be closer
right.
as we go along.
And
but
I think when we do next year's budget, it'll be a lot more closer than what it is now because of the way that everything's being tracked now. Before, part of the stuff was tracked on Peachtree,
Excel spreadsheets,
and QuickBooks. Now it's all in one. So
it took me months to just get things, the way they should be. So
I think next year's budget will be a lot more close. And definitely, you know, anticipate lower for a while and an ambulance versus what actually comes in.
When you have to look at the grant, you have to, whatever you're going to anticipate as grant income, you need to make sure you're understanding that that is never a given. So you have to dispense it. Well, we might know in September what we're going to receive from the government for this next fiscal year. But that can change, especially right now. So you can't look at that grant income and look at that total revenue and think, oh, we have $1.2 million, because that is not true.
Didn't we?
We have to take that into consideration.
And didn't we also have the discussion, Lori, that one other thing we have to be careful about with grants is whatever portion of the grant that we have to pay should we get the grant has to be set aside. So it actually comes out of our budget.
Right, and that's on the revenue part of it.
Irregardless, we still we still have to, if we have a 50-50 grant and it's for $100,000, we have to have $50,000 of our budget money sitting there in case that happens.
And what happens if the grant doesn't get approved?
Then it's still washed.
It's still washed out.
That $50,000?
Right.
Yes.
So, like, let's for example, we put in $425,000 this last year for grants. And then if you look in the expenses column, you'll find $425,000. But then you should find another line item that says what our portion of the grant is under expenditures.
We have budgeted $15,000.
For our portion?
Yeah. For our portion, correct. Now, the only grants that we usually hit that have a good portion to it is like the BFA 50-50 grant. Or we might hit the FEMA grants for 95-5. And those grants, you just never know when they're going to come up. We've had two of them come up within the last month that are due within a couple of weeks.
I have three very large ones, right? But they're good ones. They're doing away with the RFA, which was a 90-10, which was a wonderful grant.
Right.
They just can't afford it.
BLM.
BLM's budget is just completely upside down, and they cannot afford to hand those out anymore. They still have the VFA, which is 50-50. The SHISCAP, State Homeland Security Grant Programs, they're 100%. Sometimes 95.5. Those are the type of grants that you want to hit. You just have to put forth the effort and do the reports. It's very important. I was handed a stack of binders. Here you go. Not one report has been filed. They will come and take your money if you do not follow their guidelines. So.
Exactly. We sent you to school.
Big courtesy.
Any other questions concerning, there was one more. Candy, did you have a question on that other portion earlier?
Not on this sheet. I have something on my explanation. Yes, on overtime.
Yes.
Is this a normal amount? Can I ask that question, Tina?
Yes.
Chairman, $1,296, is that a normal?
If you take one person and you work that person 12 hours, that's half of a crew. It takes two people to run one ambulance. That crew is on shift for 24 hours, and their shifts rotate. So they work approximately 2,700 hours, more than that, a month. That's just regular time. That is not scheduled overtime. Scheduled overtime has been put into the budget because the way our shifts rotate, there's always twice a month, there's two shifts, A, B, or C, that receive all its scheduled overtime. Because we have to cover how many days with the crews, so we have to have scheduled overtime. And we put that into the budget. And when you see overtime, you have to remember anything after 106 hours we're mandated to pay overtime rate. That doesn't mean it's not in the budget.
If you think about it, it's not like a 40-hour schedule. They have a fire service has a lot hour time where they have the 96, what is it, 96, 100, or something like that.
106. Anything after 106 hours is overtime. And you can see, you can go back with the payroll periods and see which shifts have the overtime. And you can see on our calendars who's scheduled for what shifts. So it's planned out each month. There's no way of getting around it unless you hire another shift. That's another medic, and that's another EMT. But when these guys only work 10 days a month, they count on that scheduled overtime. That's part of their benefit package, and their when they come to work for us, they know they're going to get that overtime twice a month. Does that make sense? So, you know, you have to weigh cutting their overtime and giving and hiring another shift. And how are you gonna, that shift, it just doesn't work out.
Most departments have these shifts, A, B, C.
Because of the way that they work, there is scheduled overtime with almost every employee.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The only real overtime that we can look at is the overtime that occurs because someone has to cover for someone or something on that order,
or a second out
ambulance. But you hope that with the second out ambulance, you're going to collect for that, and it's going to be paid for anyway.
Yes.
Or structure fire as well.
Because usually, if they're second out, they're not staying for 24 hours. They're here until that call is completed, and then they go home. So sometimes we have right shift change. We have a call kick out. That shift that's still on, even if they've got 10 minutes left, they have to take that call. So that might put them into a couple hours over, but until shift changes, they're on. They have to take that call. They have to respond. Sometimes our ambulance breaks down and Terry has to work on it and it takes him an extra hour or so, but we try and work it.
Yeah, we recently had one, you're going to see one coming up in pay period, where the ship was supposed to get off at 8 o'clock and at 7:30 they had a call to the Chiricahua Mountains to pull down a Forest Service worker. So they left at 7:30, they had to hike up the mountain to get the guy and carry him back down and take him to Douglas Hospital. So they were gone until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
And we have to pay them.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Okay. Thank you very much.
Any other questions from the board?
Mr. Pino, can I,
yes?
Can I just get, I'm not sure if I put that down, but there's usually 172 hours of scheduled overtime.
You have 192 here.
Oh.
That's what you meant?
Roughly.
Yes.
There's roughly 172. This is an older, this is when we did that payroll. My figures here that I'm looking at.
Mm-hmm.
It's when we did that payroll study, so it might have changed since then. But I just wanted to explain, have you understand what scheduled overtime means? Because we always seem to talk about it.
Right, and I brought that up with you, what Lori's doing is something I kind of asked her to clarify to the board a little bit better, so we're not really thinking about, gee whiz, you know, when you come in and sign checks, you know, gee whiz, there's 50 some odd hours of overtime on this pay period. If when you're signing checks, you know, most of the members kind of keep track of that.
And you'll see 120. You see two shifts have 120, that pay period, and the other two shifts have 106. So you can kind of, if you look through the checks and look at how many hours they work, you'll see it. Each payroll period, you'll see that scheduled overtime. So when you see 120 hours, that was their scheduled overtime payroll period versus 106 hours.
Anything else from the board? We'll move on to the chief's reports. Chief, you have the floor.
Brush fires, we've had zero. False alarms, we've had two. Structure fires, zero. Other calls, two. Control burns, three. And fire department personal protective equipment. I still haven't received your equipment, Mr. Jones. I need that. I've got some new people here that need some equipment. So, can you give me a date when I can get it?
Are you done with your report? I was told I can't talk to you about this stuff until after you're done doing your report.
That's correct.
I'm done with that portion of it, yes.
I was told I can wait until you're done.
Let's go ahead and finish all the reports before we come down with questions.
EMS, ambulance transports, 13. Air transport, 0. COVID 101. Death assist, 3. And one case where we've had the second out ambulance while we had the first call out ambulance out. Training report, we've got officers' trainings and emergency medical service orientation and continued education. That's all of my reports. Any questions?
Lift assist?
Yeah, if somebody has fallen and can't get up.
Okay. I thought that was probably it.
Okay, Mr. Jones, you can respond to that that question.
Okay. Wednesday. I'll have everything turned in Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow, Wednesday, or next Wednesday?
On the 9th?
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
Okay. Just want to make sure somebody's here.
Any other questions from the board? We'll move on to new business, item agenda number 8. Under new business, we have under item A, discuss and vote to approve the intergovernmental agreement between the County of Cochise and the Sunside Piers Fire District for the purpose of providing mutual aid and assistance. And I think I'm going to let the chief handle that portion. Chief, if you will.
Yes, thank you. This is an agreement in order for us to move our repeater from the Riggs Mountain Tower that we currently have. That tower, when we first started paying for the lease of that tower, was $6,000 5 years ago. It's up to $6,999. That's how much it increased in 5 years. Anyhow, talking to the Cochise County radio communications folks, if we move our radio tower to their tower on Dos Cabezas, not only will we get better coverage, but we won't have to pay them. All we have to do is do an IGA, intergovernmental agreement. This agreement was drawn up by the attorneys for Cochise County, and so I'm just proposing that we approve it and move forward with it. It's got to go to their board of supervisors also for approval. By doing this, it'll save us about 7,000 plus whatever the rates are that increases every year on doing this tower, plus to get a lot better coverage. We did some tests with handheld radios. We were able to reach from Dos Cabezas to Dragoon and railroad tracks. We were able to reach to I-10 and Highway 191, to the Mustang Mall, and to Ash Creek School, all with handheld radios. It's not including the mobiles. So the mobiles are a lot more powerful.
I motion that we do the intergovernmental agreement with Cochise County.
Second.
Yes, ma'am. Motion has been made to approve the intergovernmental agreement between the County of Cochise and the Sunside Piers Fire District for the purpose of providing mutual aid and assistance. That is the agreement. And it has been made by Bill McCarter. It has been seconded by Ms. Candy Rowe. Any discussion concerning this? From the board?
There is going to be a cost to move this. So when we move it, the expense to move it, and then the income that we will save, how many months will it take to balance out?
Right, and that'll be on another agenda. I'll have the full quote for another agenda for another meeting.
So would that be something that we would want to look at before we go ahead with an IGA, looking at the costs and the responsibilities of what we will be responsible for before we vote on this?
I don't think so.
Well, it's going to incur a cost. There's definitely going
to
incur a cost in the probably the equipment, the labor to and so on. I'm not exactly sure. And I think just discussing with the personnel and the chief, it's going to we're going to be able to recoup our losses in a few years.
Mm-hmm.
I think, you know, about 3 years in my discussion with the chief. And after 3 years, and it's that's where we recoup our cost, and then our cost is down to zero.
So should we have a written estimate, though, of what this cost is going to be?
I don't think we need a written estimate. Well, I know we have a timeline to proceed with this because our lease is up with Riggs Mountain coming up. When is that, Chief? The lease is?
I believe it's in June.
June?
And we don't want to sign another one, otherwise it's going to be another 6-year lease.
We can't sign another one, and then just everything just becomes more expensive.
That was going to be my question. We don't have any cost after June 6th with
right.
that lease?
Right.
It's just one time.
Okay.
And we do have a quote. I just don't have it on the agenda this time because I'm waiting to see what happens with the county as well. I'm just trying to get the steps done at a time. But I've shared the cost with Fino and Bill, and they were going to be in the neighborhood of $17,000.
And we're going to spend the $6,999 in June anyway?
No.
If we don't sign.
But we were going to.
But we're doing by the month right now. So.
Oh, it's a monthly.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we will save $6,900 per year. And again, that's basically a 2.5-3 year recoop.
Right.
Not to mention our communications.
Right.
Are horrible.
The communications at this time.
They're inside a house. I can't hear them when I'm dispatching back and forth. If they go into Wilcox Hospital, I cannot. They cannot be in the building. I cannot hear them. If they go underneath the awning at Benson Hospital, I can't hear them, which is not a good thing when you're dispatching back and forth.
If they're in the hospital and they get a tone out, they can't even hear the tone. So they don't know if they have another call.
Any other further discussion from the board? We have a motion on the floor and we have a second. We'll now take a vote on that. All those in favor of approving the intergovernmental agreement between the County of Cochise and the Sunside Pierce Fire District for the purpose of providing mutual aid and assistance with a show of hands. A show of hands show that 4 board members are in favor of that. And those that are opposed to that, we have 1 board member that is opposed to that. That's Mr. Rebel Jones. That motion has been carried by a 4-1 majority.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to say thank you because this has been a work in progress. I've been working on this for about 10 months now.
I've seen the work you put into that, Chief. I've seen you running up there. I think it's very important to get this for our community, too. Moving on to item number B, discuss and vote how the board wants the petty cash dealt with.
You put that on there, Mr. Chairman, because we kind of discussed it a little bit at the last meeting, and we weren't quite clear exactly how we wanted to do that. We do know that we need to keep some type of petty cash on hand in case we need it, in case one of us that has a credit card is not here. But we wanted to see exactly how you wanted to handle that and deal with that. I know we don't want a big quantity.
How much do you want? 50? I'm not so much concerned with having the cash on hand as I'm worried about. If somebody comes in with a donation, the only account we have is Chase Bank. So I have to either drive to Sierra Vista or to Wilcox to make a deposit. It would be much easier to have a petty cash account here at a local bank with restrictions, however it's done. But we just need to find a way to, right now I have to write the check to Chief. And then Chief takes it down to the local bank and cashes it to replenish our petty cash. Technically, I'm not sure if that's such a good thing for an audit trail. Even though it says to replenish petty cash, how do you want to do this? Do you want to keep it this way? I'm not so much worried about the amount we have on hand because there's always receipts, but banking, how do you want to work that?
Do we have an account here?
No. That's what I have to.
I thought we wanted to have an account.
We talked about it, but we never really voted on.
And that's what you were saying, legislation has just passed saying that we can have our own accounts, is that?
That would be different, we can, but that would be different than a warrant account. This is just to be able to take a warrant, have you sign it, to replenish cash, so much amount, so I don't have to drive to Wilcox or Sierra Vista. So I can go down, cash it, put it in the petty cash, and it's written right to the bank, not to chief, not to myself, not to anybody. I just think the audit trail would be more clear.
Is county okay with this? Is any legal issue?
Alfreda has one.
How did the Chase account come about?
I have no idea.
That's the account.
That's the county. Yeah, that's the county warrant account, but I don't know who set it up.
What is the number that you think we need to have?
Well,
I've got a couple of concerns. That's why we're not sure which way to go with this. If we do a bank account at Great Western Bank, how are the folks that's going to need it get it if I'm not here or if Lori's not here? You know, how are they going to get it if we get an assignment and they need to, you know, they need some cash to go out on an assignment? Or if they need to get a tire repair, then they have to pay cash for it. How are they going to do that?
Well, do you have a place to keep cash here on hand?
Well, we do now.
Yeah. Somewhat secure?
Yeah, we do. It's just
it's under double lock.
It's just cashing those checks, and that's always signed by you, and there's always a trail, but I need a place to be able to do that. I need to be able to, when petty cash is low, I need to be able to go to a bank, replenish it, and then lock it up so when the guys need ice or whatever, they can get it. But right now, I have to go to Chase Bank.
So you will be basically, the bank account will only be accessible through you or the chief.
Right. Or the only two that have the keys to both locks.
No, I mean from the bank, not the petty cash.
I'm not sure how many signatures it would need, but I just need to be able to go and replenish the petty cash without having to have the check written to chief, and then chief go and cash it, and then the cash comes back. Does that make sense?
Yes. What kind of confused me was the example that what if somebody needed cash, would they be able to go to the bank?
Right, we'd keep it here.
We would just go and unlock the lock and get it.
Okay.
So what are we talking about? Are we talking about putting
$1,000?
$1,000 in a bank account so that you can go down and draw out $300 to have here?
Yes, or wildlands.
Something on that order?
Yes.
I'm having trouble following all this.
And so what we'll do is basically what we're looking for is a bank account that has $1,000 in there. If you take out $300, then another check has to be written into the bank account to replenish that $300 when you bring that $300 back.
Right. And that would have a paper trail, you know.
That showed a revolving $1,000.
Right.
So the bank account would have $1,000, and how much cash would be on hand here?
Well, when it's not wildland season, we usually have about $305. Is usually a good number. It's a safe number, not too much, not too little. But during wildland season, if they're called out, sometimes they need a few hundred dollars for food and ice and whatever they need. So I think there should be a little more during wildland season. That's my opinion.
What's a little more?
Well, when I first got here and I seen that there was in the neighborhood of $700, I'm like, oh my, why is there so much money here? So we cut it back. And then it was like, well, wait a minute, now I know why there's so much money here, because you got to constantly run to Wilcox or wherever there's a bigger bank, that has a Chase Bank. And so we cut it back, and then we got to the auditor, and the auditor asked us to keep it low, too. Yes, sir.
Can I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Can we put $1,000 in an account and let our administration and chief decide how much they're going to take out of it at any given time and have here? I mean, it's their responsibility. They're under the double lock and key.
And there's always a paper.
I mean,
and you're going to see the check.
I think that's more encouraging.
Is that in a motion form?
Is that a motion?
I'm asking the question. I'll make it a motion. I motion that we put $1,000 in there.
I think that it would be a very good suggestion also, because it is trackable. It's $1,000. It's not a big amount.
No, every cent is tracked.
What am I thinking, $50?
I don't have any problems with it.
Oh, that's my part.
I thought you were going to say $50,000.
No,
to make sure there's no legal aspects. Just because I agree this to it doesn't mean it's not that they're doing anything wrong, but
okay.
I just like to...
Lori's overheard that question.
The auditors are the ones who gave that suggestion. So
right, but
they know the law.
So it would just be...
You're welcome to check into that. You're welcome.
So, I mean, I have no problem with it. That's a great idea. We do need to have a local place to do that with.
I think
the motion should be, Bill, revise this a little bit. I make a motion to establish an account at the Western Bank for $1,000 for the petty cash, for the purpose of petty cash replenishment at the station, as long as it complies with the county law and regulations.
I would second that motion. That's
yes, I'll relinquish my motion to you.
Okay. A motion has been made by myself, and it has been seconded by Mr. Heine to establish an account at the Western Bank for the amount of $1,000 for the purpose of replenishing the petty cash amount at the station, as long as it complies with county laws and regulations. Any discussion from the board? We'll now take a vote. All those in favor of that motion with a show of hands. Show of hands show that all board members did vote in favor of that. Item number C under new business, discuss and vote on who is going to do the minutes and agenda for the district board meetings. In discussion with Lori, we thought we had a solution with a new software program that was going to be able to translate verbal minutes into written minutes.
It will,
but it's not going to be able to get done on a particular computer because there's not enough hard drive space left in it to download the program.
Not enough memory.
We were going to use the training laptop that we just purchased for training.
And,
it's not going to work.
Is there any way to incorporate more hard drive storage into that, replacing and changing the hard drive?
It's a brand new laptop. I have no idea how that works.
And a brand new laptop that didn't have enough hard drive space or read-only memory?
When I downloaded the program, installed it, a little box popped up that said you must have 4 gigabytes of, I don't remember, memory or something. I'm not so sure, but it didn't have enough.
That's what it said in the manual when I read through it myself.
So my idea was we either use the recorder and double check, make sure that both of them are working, and then I take the minutes and dictate them to my computer at my desk, and then it prints it out. So there's no... He said, she said, it's word for word from the recorder. That either that or I bring my personal laptop, which I'm not sure, but I'm not going to relinquish it to the district. So either I get permission to use that. I don't know.
Now, when we were in Laughlin, don't use any personal equipment.
But if you want a laptop here, I don't know what else the solution is.
And we're not sure that even that laptop program is going to be workable enough. Reading the manual and going through part of the procedures on the PDF format that I downloaded, it said that you have to train the program for voice recognition.
Right, you have to work with it.
So will it recognize 5 or 6 different voices while it's recording, or... Does it involve a lot more, or will it only recognize one voice? And this is what we were hoping to test.
Most people just take whatever minutes or whatever reports they have, and they dictate it to... It's a headset, so I would hold the recorder, listen to the recorder, dictate it, and it helps it out. We were trying to solve this is what was said, but this is how the temperament was, and this is, you know... I was told I needed to learn how to couch what people said by a former board member. So I was having a hard time with that. I want to write what was said. So this program was supposed to help with that. We're just trying to figure out how we want it to be done.
Well, I think for the present, I think if the board agrees, I've been doing the minutes from the recordings myself, and typing those up. That's what you received, those minutes that I did. I think by regulation we have to have the recorded minutes on hand immediately, 3 days after the meeting?
Yeah.
For the public. I don't think do we need draft minutes available for the public, or do they can wait for the draft minutes if somebody, written minutes?
If we've got the recording, we have to have drafts.
But what if somebody requests and you just give them a copy of the recording, correct?
Right.
I put it on CD.
But the reason we're doing draft minutes, written ones, is our auditor suggested that might be a better idea to simplify searching for a particular agenda item rather than have to listen through an hour and a half tape. And move through that. So we've gone back to written minutes. I don't mind doing what I have done recently, but I want the board's opinion on what I've done with the last two meeting minutes.
I don't think that's your job to have to do that.
It isn't. But I went and did it. We had some issues with the minutes previous, and
it should be the secretary of the board. That's what the after rule says. It is the secretary of the board. I'm not sure who that is.
Yeah, we have no secretary at this time of the board.
That's what it's supposed to be.
So that's
it's actually supposed to be the job of the clerk.
Oh, okay, sorry.
But that's my job.
Sorry. Clerk.
So I don't mind what I've been doing with. Bill's permission, I've been sending him the minutes as I finish them to see if there's any. This is just our first time that I did this over the internet with all the board members. I'm fine with that, and I don't mind continuing that. And I will continue if the board approves that.
Just for, if may I explain all of this? But as we started out, and I was voted in as a clerk, I told everyone, I don't have the time and I don't have the equipment to type up minutes. And so then it was decided, and it does stay in the statutes, actually, that those responsibilities can be passed to someone, and then the clerk can just sign them or approve them. And so for a little while we had Kim Jones doing them, and then we decided somebody else was going to do them. So this has been an ongoing thing as far as who's going to do the minutes and how we're going to do them. And so that's just a little bit of explanation for all you people who weren't here. And I tried to refuse the clerk's job, but I was not.
It was shut down. Well, I make a motion that I continue to do the minutes and present them to the board for approval and for adjustments from the board, and and then make sure that the agenda is ready for all the board meetings. And that's my motion.
And you do them off the recording.
That's correct. I sit down with the recording.
I'll second your motion.
Okay. We have a motion on the board that the chairperson will continue to do the minutes in the format that he has been doing it in the last two meetings, and ensure the agendas are ready for the district board meetings. It has been seconded by Mr. Heine. We will now take any discussion for the discussion. We will now take a vote on that. All those in favor of that motion with a show of hands. Show of hands shows that all board members did vote in favor of that. Moving on to old business, discuss the retirement fund, the past changes and budget impacts from those changes. Now this is this involves the retirement fund. We got some paperwork, some statutes.
read them. I couldn't print them.
Oh, no? Oh, there we go. The pension for the volunteer firefighters. And we all know what that consists of. Anybody want me to read that, or the board members go through that? We have in the volunteer pension fund, Lori gave us our final update on that,
$136,000.
In January? $133,958.16. The volunteer pension plan was made a while ago and started with an amount of $60,000, as I recall. And it's been supported by state funds from the state retirement funding program on a yearly basis, because we have been turning in a report. Now, we have these funds in here. The chief has talked to a couple of people, representatives, asking what can we do with these funds since we no longer have volunteers that are available to utilize these funds. Does this money go back to the state? Can this money be utilized to help fund the retirement program for the existing firefighters? I have yet to come up with a good solution. I think Chief Miller was a little bit, not Miller, it was Bill Barges?
Bob Barger,
that was concerned about making any actual comments. Bob Barger is our state representative for the retirement fund. Is that correct? Is that his title?
Yes. Would you like for me to clarify a little
bit
with our conversation?
Yes,
please. Yes. I had talked to Bob Barger. He's the fire marshal for the state of Arizona, and he's also in charge of the pension plan. His words were that he didn't want to come down and give a presentation because people interpret the law in different ways. But he suggested that the board read the laws and make their decision on what they want to do. However, the money that's in the account is not to be used for the district. The money in the account is to be used for employees. So the district can take that money and say, okay, well, we're going to pay a portion of the employees' retirement pension plan with that money. Otherwise, it goes back to the state.
Can I add to that?
Go ahead, Lori.
And the reason why we're having a hardship with our retirement is because back in 1982, somebody from the district signed a Section 218, which requires us to pay Social Security. We're not exempt from that. So we decided to go with Arizona State Retirement at 9.6%. The district matches that, but the employees also have to pay full Social Security. So there's a large amount coming out of our checks. And yes, it's to our retirement, and that money will be there. Hopefully Social Security will be there someday. But however, normal fire departments are usually exempt from Social Security. However, that Section 218 made it to where no matter what, we have to pay into both. We cannot opt out of Arizona State Retirement because it's just the way it is. Once you're in, you're in.
And we can't opt out of Social Security.
So, sometimes there's over $300 taken out of my check, out of my wages, just to pay those two. That's a lot of money. Had we known there was a Section 218, we might have gone a different route. But we weren't aware of that. We couldn't even find the paperwork to look at the archives to find out.
It was done in the
70s.
Or 80s, I'm sorry. The other thing, Mr. Chairman, on this and board members, is that the board can decide if they want to invest the money and use it to pay portions. They can pay 10%, or they can pay 100% of the employees, whatever they want to do, however long they want to stretch that money out. They can invest that money to where it keeps bringing money in, and using it as a portion to pay the employees' portion of it until it runs out.
Bill,
can we just leave it invested where it is and make a program as to how it is to be used?
Yeah, you can see that we have $92,000 of that, and now is in a money market account. We have a CD at 5.55%, which is not a bad price, but it doesn't mature for another 7 years. And that's $40,000. So I think you have a good idea, Bill. It's, you know, where we can invest that $92,000 and talk to Edward Jones and see exactly what kind of revenue we can generate on a monthly basis or even a yearly basis, and apply that revenue to the retirement program for the employees. Bill, another question?
I think I have another question that may complicate everything, and maybe we can't even discuss it right now, but I keep going back to the fact that, are we always not going to have volunteers? Because I think the volunteer program is important, and saying that we're not going to have it is somewhat counter to my thoughts. But we haven't discussed it as a board, so I don't know all the particulars.
Well, I think it's something that needs to be discussed, because I've heard that comment more than once about a volunteer portion. And I think what we need to do is basically come up with another agenda item with Edward Jones, you know, and discuss the Edward Jones account and the monies that we still need as a board to decide what are we going to do with this $92,938 that's in a 0.01% money market account that's not doing anything. It's been in there a little over a year now, I think. It just dropped out of a lot of the CDs, and now it's back in there not doing anything. We need to, as a board, discuss what we're going to do with that. Go ahead, Bill.
So can we discuss and put that somewhere else without saying what we're going to do with it?
That's correct. We can put that into another account.
As long as it's being used.
It's
got to be used. You can't just sit on it.
It's not a savings account.
You cannot sit on it. It's got to be used. It's got to be paying a portion of the employee's pension.
So what I need to do is, or the chief needs to do, or somebody needs, the chief and I, the board and the chief, need to do is to get a hold of the retirement fund. Bill is his name? Bill?
Bob
Barker. And say, how long do we have before the state takes this money back? Right. If we don't utilize it. Bill?
Okay, so the answer to my question is no, we can't decide what to do with it and not decide how we're going to use it. We have to decide how we're going to use it along with what we're going to do with it.
And that's, I guess that's true. That's very true.
And while we're on that same subject, I've got a fax here from Edward Jones. The only people that are on that account are you, Mr. Fino, Bill McCarter, and Mary Farrar.
Right. We were talking to Lori earlier before you went, while you were gone. She's gotten the paperwork for all the board members to sign a new statement. She's having trouble accessing the account on the internet.
And maybe you need to call her and specify.
Or maybe I just need to come and sit down with you.
Or not have me involved in it at all. But she doesn't like the fact that somebody's having access to the account without being on the account.
Okay.
And I don't have any need to be on that account. Actually, Chairman, that makes...
Well, you don't need to be. You don't need to be on the account. I just felt it was necessary that you needed to be able to access the reports.
And they come in the mail. I mean, they send me the statements. Okay. So I really would not. I don't want to be on the account.
Okay. Do you have the forms? You say,
yeah, right.
Oh, okay. Let's see. We are discussing the retirement fund at this time. The past changes, the budget impacts. Yeah, and part of that retirement fund does come from the Edward Jones account. So we are in order to discuss the Edward Jones account.
Yeah, so you know, it does have in the Arizona Revised Statutes that you have to produce a board, and your board can be the board of that fund. So that those are in the statute.
That's true. I remember reading that. While we're on the the subject of the Edward Jones, let's put the three board members. Well, we don't have the three board members. The secretary, the clerk, and the president of the board should be the ones that are on the account. Is that correct? That's the way we had it last year.
I think it just depends on
the board
structure of the board and whose officers.
And I apologize because I forgot to put that on the agenda and I forgot to do the voting. Oh. I put it on last month and for some reason I didn't do it this month, so I apologize.
That's okay. That's my oversight too, Chief. So let's get this Edward Jones discussion on who should let's see. Let's put this on new business for next month to discuss who's going to be put on the Edward Jones account.
After we do a vote for officers.
Right, after we vote for officers. Lori?
Chairman, can we have a call made to Edward Jones regarding Mary Farrar?
Yes.
I just think that that would be...
Yes, I should stop there on Thursday and talk to him personally. And yes, if you'll remind me, I would appreciate that.
Thank you.
So under new business next week, we will discuss the Edward Jones accounts. After we elect the officers of the board, the three officers of the board that be elected will be the president, the secretary, and the clerk.
The president, the clerk, and the treasurer?
And the secretary, treasurer. Treasurer, secretary, we call that.
Mr. Chairman, that would still be old business, because it's old business now.
Under old business, we will, under new business, we'll discuss the Edward Jones account.
Right.
And the monies that are in there, what we can do with it, and what we should do with it, and and then also discuss who's going to be on the Edward Jones account for signatures. Any other comments under old business?
Since it is old business and I'm a new board member, should I be abstaining from participating in this?
Under old business?
Because it is old business and I wasn't around. I'm just asking.
Unless he's going
to
be an officer.
I'd leave it up to the pleasure of the board to discuss it and make their decision.
Or we can ask, to have you, it would be, with your experience, I think it would be great to have you involved in the conversation. I don't think it'd be any type of conflict of interest if you gained enough knowledge concerning the information that we can give you concerning the retirement fund. Where I think your past experience might be beneficial.
Well, I'd like to be in the discussion, but maybe I would abstain from the voting.
I think you can do that. You can if you feel you need to abstain.
Would like to just go on a record saying that that's what I would do.
Okay. Anything else? Any other comments from the board, Bill?
I just looked up what the officers are supposed to be: chairperson, clerk, treasurer.
And treasurer.
Okay. And it tells the officers of the board shall be the chairperson, who shall be chief executive officer, the clerk, who shall keep the minutes of the board, all correspondence and records of the district, and who shall be the executive officer in the absence of the chairperson, and the treasurer, who shall keep all financial records of the district.
Okay.
Make sure you fill out your ballots.
If anybody wishes to apply for any of those those positions will be open for the next board meeting. Moving on to agenda item number 10, call to the public. There is no public to ask to speak. We will now adjourn this meeting at 25 minutes after 8.
Okay, somebody needs this. May I have all these fancy papers that you have
to put down? 825 on that. And you sign that.
Where's the top sheet?
Oh.
What's in there?
The top sheet to be, here we go.
Chief, you're going to give me a book?
Yes, sir.
You're going to give me a new one? Okay, thank you.
He had them ordered. I'm not sure if they've come in yet.
Cool. Okay. I don't have all
no,
those.
Did I give those to you? Papers. I gave them to you once, didn't I?
No, I got part of them. And mine are not colored.
I gave those to you.
Yeah.
Oh, here it is. This is what I was giving you. Okay. There you go.
All right, now, so I have the agenda.
Yes.
And I have...
No, this is your assigned agenda.
That's the one I need to keep in mind.
Yeah.
Take this, give me that.
Then I pass... Candy, did you pass Bill the...
Oh, don't look at me like that.
The minutes? The approved?
Don't look at me like that.
Oh, we'd have to make that one change, Miss Candy roll.
You can leave it, Miss Roll. I wouldn't bother changing it.
Doesn't say anything,
Miss. It just says Miss.
It just says Miss.
Oh, I thought I saw Miss Roll.
No.
You changed it.
Here's should have said that. That is the official swearing for Mr. Haney.
And what about the signature card on the account?
We have
a new one filled out.
Right, a new one will be added.
Oh,
exactly.
We need to do...
So
I think I should have those.
We need to be beneficiary cards on
I think I should have those.
Okay.
I'll have those.
Because it was part of our meeting, I think I should have those.
You might want to write my cell phone number down.
Okay.
It was part of the meeting. And just give me a call, and if you need me to go to the bank, I'm usually around. I won't be here all next week, but I'll be here the rest of this week.
Okay.
This.
That's 508.
Okay.
508-2899.
Welcome. There's the January
20th
minutes.
We're so glad you are.
Yes. Do you have February 8th minutes?
Candy, did I give you February?
Yeah.
Candy, did you take the February 8th minutes?
Yes.
Yes. You'll give those to Bill.
It was just in him.
Yeah.
Sparking right up.
Sparking.
And I can also get a signature card and then have you sign it, and I can fax it straight to the calendar.
That's fine.
And
the other
one's recorded,
I'm working around the town. The rest of the week, just give me a call. I can